Hello, Russell.
Hi, Christine.
How are you?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
I'm good. Long time no see.
Yes, this is our second podcast of the year.
Sorry, fans.
That's all right. I guess it's to be expected, considering everyone's just kind of trying to get used to kind of doing their thing again.
Being back together.
Right, which is a very big deal.
Totally. It's also, like, kind of weird, right? Have you done anything super public?
Well, as I told you when I got here, I went to the Wheelhouse last night for their vinyl night. And I actually, as it got more and more crowded, I deliberately walked towards the door and just kind of stood there. Whereas before, I'd be, like, right in the thick of it and just enjoying everything.
I know, I'm like... I'm really conscious of people's air.
Yeah. Like, yeah, and there are so many people who are, like,
yeah,
hugging and, you know, talking really close, and I'm like, okay, okay.
Yeah, it's okay. Okay. I know. It's like last year with Parker's hockey, we had to do, like, have a COVID safety person checking people into the arena. And this year, it's just nice because you can just go in, people can come in and watch. And yeah, but it's also... It's a bit weird.
Yeah, right? Yeah, it is a bit weird. But again, you know, just roll with the punches, I guess.
Did you have a good summer?
Yeah, it was pretty good. It was just a lot of work and a really good year for salmon.
Nice.
So, yeah, I didn't do any traveling. I stayed in Rupert. How about you?
Yeah, it was good. We did a bit of traveling. I found the Prince Rupert weather really good. Like, didn't feel like we got as much rain as we usually do.
Yeah, it and was quite warm.
Yeah, we went to Maui and we went to Nova Scotia.
Right.
And we went to visit my mom. So.
Oh, that's very cool.
And now it's like fall. It feels weird. Yeah. It feels like September just went.
Yeah, a blink, right?
Yeah.
It was very, very crazy. Yeah, the last time we talked was at the end of June.
I can't believe it.
With Danielle.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. I know.
Yeah.
And the big question for next year, will I go to a pride?
You have to.
I know.
I didn't go to the second pride night at the Wheelhouse. Mm-hmm. Did you hear anything about it?
No, I just heard that it was successful. It was busy.
Good.
We are in the works planning a bigger Pride event for next year with Wheelhouse.
Very nice.
And Scott Braidwood has put together, and Alyssa Sear have put together the last two Pride nights. So
very
big
cool.
Shout out to them.
Yeah, yeah.
I went to the first one with you, then missed the second one. And I'm hoping we have a couple this fall.
Okay.
I think it would be really fun. And the turnout's been good.
Yeah, so, yeah. Queers and beers.
Yeah, queers and beers. And yeah, and then... Back to a routine.
How did you deal with, like, I guess the big thing in September was, well, it's still September, technically.
I know.
Even though it feels like October. The Queen's passing, how did you find that?
Well, I did watch, and I did follow the news, and I thought, you know, it's a big, important piece of history,
right.
But there's also so many other things going on in the world.
Yes.
and I do know that there's mixed feelings about it all.
Mixed reactions,
which I respect too. But I think for all the celebrations and stuff, it was just interesting from the perspective that I've never seen it before.
Right. I mean, we saw the celebration on the marriage part, I guess, or
yeah, and like watching and Diana and just I think that whole thing. How about you?
I mean, as you said, there's a lot of reaction to it and a lot of it's mixed, and I would very much agree with that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's it wasn't as an important event for me, but to each their own. So you know. Whatevs.
I think it's changing. I think, you know, we're not finding that, you know, the monarchy needs to have that much money. It'll be interesting if they do scale down.
Mm-hmm.
But
the what I like is, or
sorry,
that kind of came across wrong. But I don't. What I like is the Queen's funeral was last week,
mm-hmm.
and The Truth and Reconciliation is on the 30th, which is coming up this Friday. So,
yes.
You know, kind of like bookended for for September. So I think that's a little more, I don't want to say relevant, but a little more current.
Yeah.
If that's, I'm trying to tread lightly here. So, because what I really found interesting is a lot of my friends are like,
that's okay.
Very serious monarchists. And I was very surprised by that. And,
yeah.
You know, some of them were very upholding the residential school aspect,
yeah,
as well as the monarchy. And I just thought that was kind of interesting and a little odd. It's like, how can you support the monarchy and, you know, the Truth and Reconciliation?
Yeah, like how can you do both? I know.
But again, you know, yeah.
I question it for me too.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, yeah. So big, big September, and it's gone already. So, and now we're here, and our guest should be here shortly.
Yes.
So that should be interesting.
So today we have Chris Thompson coming,
okay,
to talk with us.
Yeah.
He is running for mayor.
Yes, because there's a big election coming up here,
yeah,
in Prince Rupert.
Big Prince Rupert election happening.
A big shakeup.
Big shakeup. So yeah, I'm excited for that. He's also a colleague of mine.
Okay.
And I just, you know, wanted to invite him on.
Yeah, for sure.
And just talk about what his platform is, and I think it'll be fun. He's,
yeah,
super energetic.
Yeah, because what I kind of like about this election is I don't know a lot of the people.
Mm-hmm.
Which is who are running for both council, the school board, as well as mayor.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good to actually get to meet them and stuff like that. And yeah, so it should be great. He should be here shortly.
Woo woo!
So we'll see you in a minute.
Hello again.
Hello.
So
our guest has arrived.
Hello.
We have Chris Thompson with us here today. So welcome to Rainbow Nation.
Thank you so much.
Would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure. So my name is Christopher Thompson. I'm a lifelong Rupertite. I'm a Teltan. I know a lot of people don't know that because I'm very fair skinned. I always tell people they gave me the tall, not the tan. And, but
nice.
Yeah, so I've been working in education for 13 years. The last three school years I've been at Pacific Coast School.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's been really awesome. I've been working as an Indigenous education mentor. So it's been... Yeah, it's been really, really cool getting to use my some of my skills in there and learn a lot of new skills. So it's been great.
That's awesome. It's good to have you.
Yeah, that's great. What kind of drew you towards education?
I think I kind of always was. Like, even through school, it really gave me a lot of satisfaction to help out my peers and stuff like that with,
sure,
any of the work that they were working on.
Oh, okay.
You know, a lot of times they get in trouble for talking, but we were just helping each other on the math or whatever it was, right?
Right.
So, yeah, I think it's something that, it's something that's in me. I really like to educate, so.
That's very cool. So, Talkan, that's past Nishka territory, is that correct?
Yeah, like, way north.
Way north, okay.
So it's like Dees Lake area?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
Okay.
So there's Telegraph Creek, and then there's Teltan Village, and yeah. It's way up.
Is there like a community for, like, you know how there's like the Nishka Nation, there's Jimsham, there's Métis.
Yeah, there's Teltan Nation. Yeah.
Is there like a group in Rupert that you know of?
No.
No. Okay. So there's no like supports for.
They do have support for people that are, you know, off reserve or whatever.
Oh,
but,
really?
Yeah,
that's
like,
awesome.
Yeah, I was going to school after for post secondary, and they,
yeah,
were supporting that.
Oh, okay.
Which is really cool, but.
Because,
yeah,
some nations are very, very strict about, you know, you have,
yeah,
to be on reserve to receive,
mm-hmm,
benefits and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's awesome.
Yeah.
Cool.
I actually know some Teltan people.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Here.
I'm always meeting new cousins.
Yeah.
I was door knocking and somebody saying, oh, hey, you might, do you know this person? I'm like, oh, hey, that's my cousin. So, you know, meeting all kinds of second cousins and stuff. Yeah, it's really cool.
So... I'm curious, like, what led you to running for mayor? Because, obviously, if you do get into office, we're going to miss you at PCS. I also work at PCS. So, what made you enter the race?
Right. It was actually a really hard decision for me to make because I like working at PCS so much. But I think part of it was me working there, just seeing the huge disparity between the haves and the have-nots. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, seeing what this housing crisis is doing, what kind of strain it's putting on people. And I just really want to make a positive impact and contribute to a solution so that we can, you know, find a more equitable way for people to live in Prince Rupert.
Mm-hmm. And for people who don't know, at PCS, we see a lot of students who are couch surfing who mm-hmm. don't have homes that are running properly, like, you know, with running water, hot water,
power,
or like landlords who aren't taking care of the place. So mm-hmm. we see the after effect of that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's definitely something that I don't think is highlighted enough in Prince Rupert that
right.
that we are in a total housing crunch and
mm-hmm. for sure.
Yeah. So
yeah, I don't think I would be doing this if I wasn't working at PCS the last
really?
Few years.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
No, this is definitely it made me really want to make some kind of systemic change because
mm-hmm.
it's like while it is super gratifying, fulfilling to do the work that I'm doing, it does feel sometimes like it's a band-aid solution.
Yeah.
Right? Like
yeah.
there are things that systemically that we can change to ameliorate people's lives from the get-go, so
mm-hmm.
that they don't get to the point where it's, you know, such a crisis, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. So have you been doing a lot of campaigning, like getting out to meet
yeah.
people?
Yeah, I've been knocking on doors. I've had sore knuckles the last few weekends. You know, just going to the grocery store and talking to everybody I see. You know, lots of times I'll walk up to somebody and say, hey, do you have a minute? I can tell you who I am. I'm running for mayor. And I've been, you know, well received a lot. Like, there's a lot of people that are interested in learning about what's going on with the local politics. So it's been cool.
Yeah, because this election, we just kind of touched on this earlier, is kind of, I don't want to say wide open, but it is like kind of a shakeup from the previous,
mm-hmm.
I guess, people there because Lee's leaving, Blair's leaving.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure who else.
There's some new people running
yeah.
the city council.
Like
yeah.
new faces, which
mm-hmm.
is
yeah.
really exciting. So.
Yeah.
Hopefully
yeah.
we got, like, some diversity and inclusive kind of representation.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, I'm definitely happy about the fact that there's more than one person running for mayor. Because
yeah.
last time, you know, while, you know, I was a big fan of Lee and Mr. Brain and
sure.
the things that he did, it just felt wrong to have only one person running uncontested.
Yeah.
And it felt like democracy wasn't
yeah.
happening, kind of.
Yeah,
thing.
That was a surprise.
Yeah.
For
really
sure.
Cool. What other things do you see coming down the line for Prince Rupert and things that you're interested in pursuing?
Well, one of the hot topics right now is the port tax cap. I'm sure you've heard
right.
all about it.
Yeah, yeah.
So in case any of the listeners don't know, so there is a provincial legislation. It was instated in 2004 by the BC Liberals, where they basically put a limit on the amount of taxes a city can charge for certain marine export. So it's $22.50 per $1,000, so about 2.25%. So it's really not a huge number. And the city cannot adjust. They can't raise it to be more in line with other industry standards of
mm-hmm.
what
mm.
the cities do charge for industry like that.
Mm.
Especially, you know, they are very profitable. It's a really great place for them to work because, you know, they got the deep ice-free harbor, and then we've got the rail lines that go right up to the
mm-hmm.
coast, right? So it's
right.
it's super convenient for those industries, but they're not really paying their fair share of the taxes, unfortunately.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So we see we've got it's not exceptionally high in Prince Rupert, but we do have some of the highest property taxes for let's say commercial and residential property taxes, right? And part of that is because the ports are lagging behind in what they should be probably contributing.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. And like I say all this in one hand, but the other hand, like there are so many great opportunities that the ports provide to locals
mm-hmm.
in Prince Rupert, right? There,
right.
There's
yeah.
some fantastic jobs, a lot of them unionized, where they're being able to have this awesome economic prosperity. But it'd just be really good to see that spread across the community more.
Yeah,
for sure.
I agree.
We do have a huge deficit, right? There's a $600 million where we need to fix all of our pipes and our roads. And
mm-hmm.
Right, yeah, like this one street out here, like
mm-hmm.
it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It was a 110-year-old pipe that exploded, right?
Yeah.
Oh, wow,
and that's
yeah.
most of Prince Rupert. Like
mm-hmm.
a lot of the mayor and council of years past didn't really squirrel any money away when Rupert was doing really well
mm-hmm.
for that really crucial infrastructure upgrades. Mm-hmm. So we're having to look at really creative ways to solve the problems of today.
Yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah, no, it's interesting because I think in the last decade, you know, we had that pipe go and then the pipe over by Annunciation School went.
Yeah.
And our roads, like even the roads up here need to be redone. Like there's a lot of work that needs to happen.
The one downtown that stretched like all the way, like mm-hmm. I think it was like 2007 or 8 or something like that.
Yeah.
That was like just blew up.
Yeah, yeah. I was talking to Rob Buchan, the city planner, or city manager rather, and he told me that for per capita, like the size of Prince Rupert, our pipes explode about 50 times more often than any other city in Prince Rupert.
That is insane.
Yeah.
Why is that? Just because they're so old?
Well, yeah, so part of it is they're so old and they didn't get any money reinvested into infrastructure really for the mm-hmm. longest time. Part of it was also that the fill that they were using under the roads, like to surround
yeah.
the pipes,
yeah.
Something about, what was it, nickel oxide, some kind of salt from the
mm-hmm.
harbor gravel that they used is corrosive to the iron in the
oh,
pipes, right?
Wow.
So yeah, it actually just ate them away. Like if you, I don't know if you saw when they pulled that pipe
mm-hmm.
out of McBride, it looked like an apple core. Like there was barely anything to it, right? So
I don't know why I'm laughing. That's kind of scary.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
that's wild. Oh my god.
So, I guess my other big question for you is, how do you think you'll manage like the work-life balance thing with being a mayor, or if you get into
public office?
Yeah, into the office and. Because it seems to be such a big thing right now. Like, we have people who are quiet quitting at work.
Oh.
And I don't think you can really do that when you're in the mayoral position. But, like, I know it's a real struggle for people who run for public office is to balance that work-life aspect.
Yeah. I'm definitely not looking forward to people complaining to me in public.
Yeah.
I don't know who would be. But in terms of just, you know, going out and being involved in the community, it's something that I love to do anyway. Like, I love, send me to every New Year of different cultures that there is,
right.
all
mm-hmm.
the, you know, the celebrations of different,
mm.
whether it's Pride or Z-Fest or whatever it is,
right.
like, I love to go out and meet with people and celebrate, right? So,
yeah.
That's, yeah, sign me up.
Yeah, because there's a certain part of your life that you're going to have to give up, right?
Yeah.
You know,
and you really do have to have, like, a very thick skin.
Oh,
just,
yeah.
Just in
yeah.
being the public guy.
Yeah.
Like, just talking with, my boss is Blair Moreau, who's one of the counselors right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just randomly, I just ask him, like, so how do you deal with that?
Mm-hmm.
Like people who just come up here and say, you know, what about these roads? And what about, you
mm-hmm.
know, my backyard and blah, blah, blah. Things that, you know, he obviously has basically no control over.
Yeah.
But how do you, like, how would you, in the worst case scenario, how would you deal with that? Like,
I don't know. I think to some degree I've got some experience.
Sure. Sure.
Just with talking to parents and their children's education.
Like,
yeah.
Confrontational.
There's a bit of hostility
right?
there.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, like I think one of the important things is just to be honest with people. One of the things that I've really been, like one of the puzzles on my mind is how to increase the amount of transparency. Because the more transparency you have, the less you have those people coming up to you all angry and
right.
confused or just uninformed, right?
Sure.
So, yeah, I've been really trying to figure out ways to increase the amount of transparency. One of the things that I've kind of decided would be a really good thing is to look at the ways that Prince Rupert can give timelines for different things. So,
ooh.
For instance, yeah, like, there's a lot of places with cracked up sidewalk curbs and
sure.
and potholes or whatever it happens to be, and if we just had a roadmap of, hey, this is the area we're going to do this year, this is the area we're going to do next year,
mm-hmm.
even if your area was 7 years from now, you would still have the peace of mind of knowing that, yes, it is slotted in, it's going to get done.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I think that can go a long way, just having that
mm-hmm.
kind of transparency. Mind you, it would be frustrating to have your area be lower on the list.
Right.
But I think you're right to know it's coming or to see it like it's 5 years away or it's 4 years
yeah.
away. Or
it's coming, just
yeah.
it's coming. We haven't
yeah.
forgotten you
yeah.
or we haven't,
yeah.
we won't forget you.
Like, and a bit more accountability, right?
Yeah.
Like, with the data.
And it feels like then people are more included, they feel like, right? If they're involved, they see the timeline, they're allowed to see the timeline,
mm-hmm.
then it feels like they've got more, Yeah, accountability. Involvement.
Yeah.
Right.
What are some of the things that people are saying to you, like that they think is important for you to know?
So, I've been really, really happy with what people have been telling me because it's lining up with the whole reason I'm doing this. Mm. A lot of people are saying we need housing.
Yeah.
Right. I've been knocking on doors, like I was saying before, and there's a lot of places where there's two or three families living in a single family home.
Right.
Right. And not because they all want to live in one roof together,
right,
but because either the availability is not there or the prices are so high because
right
of supply and demand, and the cost of rent just keeps going up. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, there's a lot of people saying that housing is a really big concern for them. Another one is they want more things to do in Prince Rupert.
Yeah.
Which is, it's always a tricky one to unpack. Because
like business or?
I think more recreation that there is generally what they're saying.
Oh,
but
see.
it could be using businesses that are services for entertainment as well, right?
Sure.
But yeah, it's always a tricky thing to unpack because there's this disconnection between people being aware of what's available and people accessing the things that are available.
Right,
because they're like, for instance, with the Civic Center, there are these cool things that happen all the time, and then
mm-hmm
they end up getting shut down because of low attendance, yeah,
right,
low enrollment or whatever it is. Yeah, so it's just kind of a tricky thing to try to gauge what the real needs are
mm-hmm
compared
mm-hmm
to what the perceived needs are, like, and whether or not it's a perceived need or an actual need, like. There's still something to be addressed there, whether it's just people knowing about these things that are available or not, right?
Mm.
Yeah. One of the things I would love to see that I've been kind of sharing with people is more outdoor spaces that are resistant to the elements.
Yeah, yeah.
Undercover outdoor spaces, right? But then that opens a whole can of worms of looking at our homelessness issues, right?
Sure.
Because
mm-hmm
anytime you've got enclosed spaces outdoors, you're going to be having people that are seeking shelter from the elements there as well for
right
it.
Right.
Because
mm-hmm
they don't have a place to live. So that's something that, you know, I don't think homelessness should even exist in 2022.
Yeah.
But that's a whole other can of worms to look at.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah.
You hear some of the stuff, and do you feel overwhelmed, or do you feel optimistic, or, like, what is your, like, I guess your, what you're grasping onto?
I'm generally optimistic, for sure.
Yeah.
One of the things that I've found frustrating about running a campaign is that it's taking time away from me preparing for the job that I might get.
Yeah.
I would love to have spent the last however many months just learning all about civic politics and how they intertwine with provincial politics
mm-hmm
and federal politics and what our powers are, what are, you know, all those things. I wish I had a really, really intimate grasp on what all those things are, but unfortunately I had to spend so much time, like I said, knocking on doors and
mm-hmm
right
worrying about getting my signs and all those things
right
where... campaigning is it takes a lot of time away from preparation. So, yeah, if I had a wish that I could have had a time machine and gone back and you know, maybe run for council 4 years ago, I would,
yeah.
I wish I had, but unfortunately, yeah.
How are you with social media in all of this? Like, is it something that you're kind of looking to use to your benefit, or is it something where you'd rather just be more hands-on and face-to-face?
You mean if elected?
Yeah, or
yeah
just, yeah.
Yeah, like for my campaign, I am
sure
using social media as well. But yeah, that's something that actually a lot of people in the older generations have been kind of complaining about, is that the current mayor and council uses social media as a lot of their way to reach out and for transparency reasons. And a lot of people from older generations don't really use social media as much.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
And
it really is about pleasing everyone, right?
It really
yeah
is.
You know, it's like,
yeah,
well, I use social media, so I'll see you. But
yeah
then if someone isn't using social media, I can see them being disgruntled about that, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if it's not covered in the paper or,
right
yeah.
What, like what paper though?
The
or,
Northern View.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I remember, yeah, no, I totally know what you mean. But like with, the place I work, we have like different means to reach out to people. So we do like the social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We have a website. We do like an email campaign to get more information out
mm-hmm
and a text alert.
Oh,
and
wow.
And then for people who don't have those, you know, we begrudgingly have a phone tree.
Mm-hmm.
So, and, you know, and a lot of our elders
yeah.
are like, you know, why aren't you calling everybody? Well, there's 1,600 people,
yeah.
1,600
yeah.
households that we would have to sit and phone, and hardly any of them are ever home. And, you know, it's, yeah, and so doing that whole pleasing everybody, I can totally see where you're coming from,
mm-hmm.
and trying to find a balance with that, so.
And hopefully tomorrow people still have Channel 7, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Where... Channel, is it Channel 10 as well?
Oh, am I dating myself?
No,
Channel 7?
Yeah.
Yeah, on Channel 10. Yeah, no, it's interesting. And I wonder, too, how the voter turnout's going to be, right? Because
right.
we do have people in society who just remain neutral. You
yeah.
know, they don't
yeah.
participate in a vote or...
Or they're just like so pessimistic. They're like, you know,
yeah.
my vote's not going to count.
Yeah, or they don't show up. So I'm hoping, you know, we get a really good turnout for
mm-hmm.
voting. And
mm-hmm.
yeah, so.
Although it, I can see the burnout, though. Because, I mean, there's like provincial, federal, municipal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When was the last one that we went through? Was that federal? I think it was federal.
No, I think it was the provincial. I think it was like an early one, too, wasn't it? Or was
oh,
it?
Yeah.
Yeah,
weren't they
it was
both early?
Early one, yeah.
Oh, yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Everyone's cashing in on the... Because
I just went by, like, the years.
Mm-hmm.
And then the mix-up with COVID and all of that stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I hope there is a big turnout.
Mm-hmm.
And will you be our first Indigenous mayor?
Yes.
That's exciting.
I think,
oh,
yeah,
really
I was having a conversation with Reed Skelton-Morvan the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, he was saying... I would actually be, was it fifth or sixth Indigenous mayor in Canada?
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
Which is, yeah.
That's a big deal.
Yeah, absolutely.
Deal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How, sorry, water. So, oh my gosh, I just blanked on my question. Oh, how would you deal with someone who does have that attitude of, my vote doesn't count, why do I need to talk to you?
Wow, that's a really, really hard thing to do, right? Is to give, because a lot of the times when someone's at that point, it's because they feel like really disenfranchised,
mm-hmm.
where, or maybe even just disconnected from the whole thing. Like, what are you even going to do for me anyway, right?
Right.
So I don't know if I could really say much to convince somebody like that. Like, we're doing everything we can in terms of, I'm offering rides on voting day for people
okay.
who, you know, don't have easy access to get down there.
Sure.
But at the end of the day, it's, you know, you can try to convince somebody.
It's the wind coming through.
Oh, wow. Yeah. No, that's all good. Yeah, I don't really know what, other than, you know, changing things once I'm in, you know,
right.
whether it's transparency or what have you. I don't really know how to make somebody feel more enfranchised, more part of...
More included.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's a conversation around change, right? Like, if you want to be a part of the change and you
yeah.
need to participate. Like,
yeah,
I remember
exactly.
my parents would always say to me, you can't complain unless you vote. You
yeah,
know,
like
you
that.
You can't take a stance unless you do this.
Yeah.
So,
well,
I think
before
if
Before you complain, do you volunteer?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah,
or have you... Or do you know what it's like? And I think through our jobs... I don't know what it's like to be homeless, but I definitely come home and talk about it
mm-hmm.
in my family, and I think my empathy meter has really changed since working at PCS,
mm-hmm.
where I feel like I want to be a part of some change, right, in the
mm-hmm.
community where we have more housing available and other options available for people. So I hope that people really take the opportunity to vote because it's also a privilege, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And
right, exactly.
Yeah.
But
so
some places you can't.
Yeah. Or even like I was telling Russell before we were podcasting, I've been really paying attention to the stuff going on in Iran. Just the protesters and the little revolution that they're trying to start. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's a country where you just don't have a lot of rights, especially if you're a female.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
That's a big... huge deal.
Yeah, people need to come out,
mm-hmm.
vote for change. Anything
oh,
else?
When is the election anyway?
It's October 15th is 15th. General Election Day.
Okay.
Yeah,
there's 2 days for early voting.
Oh, okay.
So they're both on Wednesdays. It's October 5th and October 12th.
Okay.
So, now that you did the kind of like introduce yourself and stuff like that. What do you do to kind of disconnect yourself from everything?
Like, what are your hobbies?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. cool. Well, I play a lot. I play a lot of board games.
Okay.
I've got probably an embarrassingly large collection of board games, ranging from the general social party games to almost 4X strategy games where there's a lot going on, or even Dungeons and Dragons. I'm an avid player of that as well.
Nice.
That's part of the reason why I feel a decent amount of confidence in just these complex political legislations is because I'm generally the rules lawyer when I'm playing these games.
Sure, yeah.
I'm the guy with the rule book, figuring out exactly what all the nitty gritty rules are to follow and to break and to use to your advantage as much as possible, right?
So policy procedures are right up your alley.
Exactly. Yeah. Totally. other than that, just...
Like, do you have a dog?
I do have a dog, yeah. I've got a very old, she's a geriatric, nice black girl. she is 13, which is pretty old for a big dog.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah.
oh, nothing.
Sugar.
Sugar's nine.
I've got a couple cats.
Nice.
Yeah. This is totally a different type of question than I was expecting about me, man.
We want to know all of you.
Who are you?
I like going out on the lake with friends and, either just paddling around or trying to fish. And emphasis on trying, because we've been pretty unlucky lately.
Yeah.
Although it's been a really good year for salmon, I felt.
Yeah, not for me.
No, really?
we didn't go out very much, but... Yeah,
right.
No, they were jumping right next to our boat and just mocking us. But...
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
No,
definitely.
That's awesome.
Got out to Taylor for as many sunny days as I could in between campaigning this summer.
Yeah.
So it was really nice. Yeah.
And what about your family? What does your family think of you running for mayor?
Lots of support.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I had my stepdad was helping me. He was one of the volunteers helping me put my big sign up. That was an experience because I'd never, you think you just take a 2x2 stake of wood and just hit it with a hammer, it's going to go on the ground.
Yeah.
Very photogenic, very Instagram-worthy.
Oh my gosh.
That's not the case.
But then those 2x2s just start splitting and it's not going and you hit a rock and then you got to go back home and get some rebar and a sledgehammer. But it's really nice to have those really supportive people around for when those little learning moments happen.
For sure.
Yeah.
do you have a lot of people helping you?
Yeah. I was really blown away with how many people that said that they would volunteer to help me with my campaign. So
very cool.
Yeah, it's been awesome.
And do you feel ready for the debate tomorrow?
Yeah, I definitely... I've been waiting for it for months now. Yeah, they actually... It was just recently announced when it was going to be. There's actually going to be another one the following week as well.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if you were aware. Yeah, so the North Coast Labor Council is going to be hosting another forum on the 4th.
Oh, okay.
October 4th, and it's going to be at Charles Hayes Multipurpose Room.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
so,
nice.
Perfect.
Yeah, we've got back-to-back weeks of debate, which is excellent.
Yeah.
More opportunities for people to figure out what we're all about.
How many people are actually running for mayor now?
There's four of us.
Four, okay.
Yeah.
So you, Herb Pond, Jason...
Huang. And Stephen Fitzpatrick.
Right.
Stephen Fitzpatrick.
Okay.
Cool.
Yeah.
What about the online trolls? How are you going to manage the online trolls? And I'm asking this because there's always online trolls.
Yeah.
And
it's like you never read the comments.
Yeah. And do you have a strategy? Like, are you going to stay offline? Or are you going to read every comment? Or...
I think, the way I've always seen it is if somebody's spreading disinformation... it's important to, at the very least, provide access to truth,
sure.
Right? Whether you're just sharing a link and saying, hey, this is what scientists think about this issue, or this is what experts in the field are saying, and then just leave it at that and without really involving yourself too much.
Yeah.
But I think the best way to deal with trolls in general is to not feed them.
exactly.
Yes.
Yeah. So, like, I feel like you have, because one of the things about the internet is it does legitimize some of those people. They mm-hmm. seem a lot less.
I mean, look at Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like the biggest troll that was the president.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No kidding.
Which is shocking.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. A lot of those ideas and opinions, they seem more legitimate when somebody's had some time to type it out and they're just, you know,
it's
all
like
standardized on the
not
internet.
Not reacting to it, but you're just kind of saying, okay, well, thanks for your comment here. Check this out.
Here's some facts that have been scientifically discovered, and just for the people that are also reading, because they might look at it, because a lot of arguments, they seem legitimate or they seem to make sense just on surface level, but so that's why I feel like it's important to at the very least just interact with them insofar as offering truth so that somebody can make their mind up.
The bigger the hyperbole, it's like, wow, that actually does make sense, you know, for to believing like a rumor or like something that, you know, aliens are actually here among us or...
Yeah,
do you know
well, they
so?
Are.
Yeah, so...
I've been to Area 51. It's weird.
Yeah, one of the places like online that I've been, you know, prone to debate the most is when somebody's talking about global warming and climate change, where they'll say, oh, the one volcano burping puts out more CO2 than humans have for all of human history.
Right.
And it's like...
Volcano burping.
I think they said belch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
But yeah, it's like, okay, well, here's what volcanologists say and compare that to what these climatologists say.
Right.
And just offering the information and saying, you're really, really wrong. But, you know, without necessarily saying that, but just showing that, you know, there are experts that know these things to be false. So that anybody else engaging with those comments can be, you know, offered both sides.
Plus, it's really finding a sweet spot between not being a Mr. Know-It-All or, like, an actually kind of person. But to do, like, because nobody has an attention span anymore.
Yeah.
So it's just you have to do a TLDR, too long didn't read, kind of summary in one sentence.
Well, and I find... Prince Rupert, a lot of information comes from Facebook,
whether
it's true or not, right?
I've seen it on Facebook.
Yeah, so, yeah, you have to find the truth or be willing to have people to have the long enough attention span to find out more, right?
Which I always think is a really surprising one I see, like, in regards to, like, our past city council and mayor, how involved they are with their platforms on social media and how they respond to said trolls or whatever, which I think is like really great. It actually kind of helped me in my job with confrontation and the same kind of thing, right? So I think it's really great to do. Sorry.
So this goes alongside with the problem with homes in Prince Rupert, like where we don't have enough. We also have a really large homeless community. And we're making spaces available, I believe, like at the old Raffles Inn is going to be...
With the Transition Society,
a new shelter. What do you think of the situation? Like, I know it's a problem province-wide, Canada-wide, but where we have people choosing to live on the streets... and choosing to take up space in various parts of Prince Rupert, what do you think the answer is? Like, do you think it's a combination of needing supports, or will they take advantage of the shelters? Like, I don't know. Like, and I'm trying to make this question really thoughtful, but I don't know what the answer is. I don't know how to support people living on the streets to get off the streets. That was about four questions in one.
Well, so I'll start off with just saying that one of the coolest things that I've learned in the last, I don't know how many years, is that housing homeless people saves money. In terms of, there's less money spent on police, there's less money spent on ambulance, there's less money spent on hospital stays. And just paying to house homeless people And even if there's some, you know, somebody there stationed as a 24-hour whatever, just to as supports or whatever it is, the amount of money you spend on that saves money overall. And it saves like a significant amount, which is really makes me happy because, you know, I think we should help people that want help anyway, you know, ameliorate people's lives wherever you can. But it's really cool that it actually is shown that you can actually save money that way. It's fiscally responsible or whatever you want to call it.
Okay.
So, yeah, insofar as people are willing to access those supports, I think, you know, they're fantastic. We should do them as much as possible. Because one of the really big things that goes hand in hand with homelessness is trauma, is addiction.
Yeah.
And studies have shown that if you do housing first, it's way easier to address those underlying issues like addiction and like trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically impossible to do so without. Like if somebody's on the street, there's no way that they're going to be able to move past certain things that are really, really hard, right? Like even, you know, even people that have financial situations, you know, they still fall into addiction or they still fall into really bad mental states due to trauma. So providing those spaces and those supports are, I think, super important to move into a, you know, a future that looks a lot brighter and has a lot more opportunity for everybody.
Plus, I think there's an inconsistency in supports in Vancouver because the Fisherman's Hall was actually a place where people went, but now they obviously can't because it's condemned, I believe.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and then the one place down by, that used to be that stationery store.
McLean and Rudder House.
Yeah, they used to have like an emergency thing in there as well. And then it just feels like, you know, the pessimist in me just wants to say passing the buck. Just like, okay, let's just do a pop-up thing here and just push people in there while we try to figure this out. You know what I mean? So So the raffles part of it is hopefully going to be a big step towards that.
Yeah.
Consistency.
Yeah, I need to do more learning as to what is actually coming from there, but I hope that more than just being like a shelter where, you know, it's from this time to this time you can stay and from this time to this time you get kicked out, actually having like a place.
Yeah.
Because I think that can provide some consistent normalcy to somebody's life where they can actually, you know, feel like they have a safe place that they know they're going to go back to. They can actually have some belongings, things like that, and actually move forward with whatever kind of healing they need to do.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Plus, I mean, I think one part of it is just if you offer these supports, it kind of feels like you remember this is a horrible analogy, but like when you're younger and you go to like this fun thing at a church and then it turns to like a lesson.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Oh, we're having fun, we're playing games and stuff, and then you start talking about Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, your mind just kind of
it's like,
shut
with
that.
Over.
Yeah, it's like, that's where you got me here. Oh, okay. Great.
There's a catch.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully there's nothing so much as that kind of aspect.
Yeah. My hope is down the road, and I know we see this through our line of work, and recently I was looking into some treatment options for a person I know, and I hope down the road that we have some sort of recovery center, like whether it's halfway between here and Terrace or somewhere on the Skeena where we have like a treatment center that's closer. And I'm not saying that that's going to fix everything, but it would just, again, create a more accessible service. And I'm hoping that we start to see like hubs and services happening where people can, once their housing is secured, they can focus on other things like deal with the trauma and stuff, but then taking it to the next level where we have a really good resource that isn't in Prince George or isn't so far away.
Yeah.
Because I think people do want to be around people that they know.
Right? Services like that, what does that fall under? Does that fall under municipal, federal, or provincial?
Probably mostly the senior government, so provincial and federal.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm assuming probably more into the provincial end because that's more like where health is, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's big. Like, every thing is big, right? Like fixing our infrastructure.
Or to have some sort of inclusive kind of hub or a traditional healing.
Indigenous kind of
aspect to it.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no kidding. Because I think the closest one is Prince George.
I think there's one, in Kitimat, too.
And that was Nechako, right? Oh, there's one in Kitimat now.
Yeah, there's a men's recovery center in Kitimat.
Yeah.
And I don't know all about it. And then there's certain places along the way, but I don't think there's full, like, treatment centers.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Until you get into the bigger cities.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see this election as something different than what it was in the middle of the pandemic or before the pandemic? In terms of people kind of coming out to vote or taking it seriously?
I'm pretty optimistic in thinking that I think we're going to have good numbers, good turnout.
Mm-hmm.
Just thinking back to civil rights movements like the Black Lives Matter, mm-hmm. where like a lot of people are pretty ready to engage politically due to just big things happening and like we were saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, totally.
And everything's immediate.
Yes.
Like, you know, even when you think of the people protesting in Iran, like it's coming out in real time.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, despite the internet, everything being shut down. And I think that's the case. Like, we have a more immediate response.
So I hope that people will be coming out in droves to come and vote and be a part of it. Yeah, because like a lot of like nonprofits and clubs, they are seeing their numbers go up a little bit.
Mm.
They still need help getting more volunteers and things like that. But just in terms of people coming out and doing things, it's definitely on the up and ups. Like a lot of people are ready to get out there again.
To say, here's my vote and how can you help us?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of, especially with inflation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Crap.
I know.
It's insane.
Yeah.
It's the same groceries I bought a month ago before that is like double the price.
Yeah.
Same freaking groceries.
Yeah.
You know, families, I think, are really going to be impacted. Well, they already are impacted, you know.
Yeah.
So
that's why we got to double down and figure out how to, every possible solution that we have to the housing, to the housing crisis, we got to act on it.
Right.
We got to look for those partnerships, whether it's industry or... societies like First Nations bands.
Right.
We've got to try to incentivize construction happening in lots that are already developed, like the downtown places where apartments have been burning down for 20 years and never rebuilt.
Mm-hmm.
Or eyesores like the Dairy Queen building.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just so crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't get it. Like, why are some places protected? I don't understand that. It's ridiculous, but that's crazy.
Yeah. I know. You're going to have a lot to do.
Oh, yeah.
Do you feel overwhelmed at all?
I wouldn't say overwhelmed.
More excited.
Kind of excited, but yeah, I'm just... yeah, I think I'm definitely excited, especially just for the learning that I'm going to get to do.
Right.
I'm a big nerd in that way, I guess, and that I'm just really looking forward to learning about the things that I know I don't know.
Sure.
But also finding things that I didn't know I didn't know. Because of course that's going to happen, right?
Yeah.
But
Have you talked to anyone on this council or?
Yeah. Oh, totally. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, no, it was pretty funny when I was talking to. Lee Brain, he was disappointed that I hadn't already started campaigning, and I was talking to him in June. Because he was saying that his campaign started the year before, in November, and it was
I remember that.
But like to his credit, he had record number of votes coming out, people coming out to the polls and stuff like that, and it was.
Well, and I think it was a bit of a shakeup too because Lee was really young, right?
Yeah. Oh, totally.
And
like the optimistic,
and he was
the white knight, or
coming whatever. In full force, right?
Yeah.
No, exciting times, and
yeah, definitely. Hopefully, you don't become like a holy I don't know where this was going. I was like, hopefully you don't get burned out and jaded. Yeah. Like, wow, where did that come from?
Wish you the best, man.
Yeah.
Good luck.
I hope the same thing. I really...
We'll talk to you in 4 years and see how you're doing.
Hey, that sounds great.
No, I'm just kidding. No, we do appreciate your time
absolutely.
And coming out to talk to us. And definitely through our avenues, we'll be encouraging people to vote and
absolutely.
Come out. And
this is great.
Awesome. Yeah. And I encourage everybody to come out tomorrow. When is this going to go out there?
It can go out tomorrow. I can put it out tomorrow.
Yeah.
Cool. So tonight.
Yeah.
Hopefully you come to the... Come to the candidates forum tonight.
Is that at the Lusker Center?
That's right. At I think I have 6 o'clock written down, but I think it's for general public at 6:30. You can start arriving.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then October 4th at Charles Hayes Multipurpose Room is another one.
And then big election day is on
October 15th. That's a Saturday, all day, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m.
And you're offering rides through.
Yeah, I've got volunteers that are all set up to get people rides down to the polls. So.
Right. Awesome.
We wish you the best of luck.
Yes,
thank
you
so much.
Thank you so much for
coming
down.
Yeah.
Okay.